Welcome, movie fans, to another Anatomy of Movie as we dissect the ABBA musical number 2. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Anatomy of a Movie.
And that's why I should sing. Leave it to the professionals, like Pierce Brosnan.
He tried.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this song, because we're here talking about it for
the sequel.
We have Dimitri Panos.
Hey, movie fans.
Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
We're back as a panel.
Yes,
it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks.
We're back for the reunion.
Here we go again.
Here we go again and again.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show. First off, a couple of things. If you've never joined us before, we dissect these movies. We talk about the plot lines. We talk about the how and the why in terms of the making of it. We talk numbers in terms of box office. And just by that description alone, hopefully that tells you there's a spoiler warning. So there is a spoiler warning. Here's the spoiler warning. Also on today's episode, there might be a singing warning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So watch out for that. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, if you'd like to follow along, we do have our rundown in the description box. It's a little PDF. You click that, you can follow along. And without further ado, let us get into it. Marissa, overall thoughts for Mamma Mia.
Well, I've always loved the music of ABBA. I've always loved, I like the musical. I was a fan of the first one. I didn't love it, but, I liked it well enough to listen to the soundtrack so many times. And so I was excited to see the second one. And seeing the trailers over and over again, I was like, I genuinely got excited to see it. And, yeah, it was fun. It was cheeky. It felt just like the first one in the level of ridiculousness on when they're performing and stuff. It's literally just for fun. And so when you go into this musical for that, you can tell everyone had fun. It was good music and some good singers, some okay singers, but overall it's just a fun popcorn time.
Dimitri.
Well, I'm going to start this off, and I'm going to get on my soapbox for a little bit, because this is a movie that's supposed to be so entrenched in Greece. And it was filmed in Croatia. And anybody who's ever anybody who's ever been to Greece, like, could tell this from the opening shot. And what's the matter? What's the matter, locations, people? Like, Greece not beautiful enough? There aren't enough beautiful islands in Greece to film this movie on? Like, their economy could have used the boost? And it actually bothered me. It permeated throughout the movie that this didn't happen. So locations, people, I do this with much love and respect. Fisa Funa, you're all bufos for not filming this in Greece.
I don't know what that means, but I can surmise what it means.
And as far as the movie goes, well, look, I've seen the play. I saw the first movie. I was not a fan of the play, not a fan of the first movie. You were going to have to drag me to go to the second one. But there was one element that I wanted to see. In this, one element only, and that was Lily James. I love Lily James, and to me, she really was the bright spot of this movie, because I can't recall the last time I've seen such an uneven musical. Half of it was really bad karaoke, and then some of it was vibrant, but I expected at least the play in the first movie had an energy to it. Marissa, I was thinking a lot about one of your favorite movies at the end of last year, The Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
And not that I was a huge fan of that movie, but what I can't say, I can't say that movie didn't have energy. I can't say that that movie didn't have a charisma to it. And even all the dance scenes, the music scenes, had that musical vibrancy. And in this one, I felt, number one, it could have been song selection, because a lot of them were slow. Like, they weren't, when you play Mamma Mia or Dancing Queen, to me was the highlight, and that's what captured a musical. There weren't enough of that. And I didn't find that a lot of the rest of the cast could sing. And that was a problem with me. And it became very like this. I liked parts, and then when it got exuberant and like what a musical could be, I was like, oh, okay, I'm into this. And then it slowed down again. So there. I can't fully endorse Mamma Mia. And since it wasn't shot in Greece.
I didn't see the first one, but I was looking forward to this one. And I knew that it would be ridiculous. I did not realize how ridiculous it would be. There is no plot. First off, this is a music video with music and some plot to string it together. And yet, it's one of the better times I've had all year. I will say this. Only if you like ABBA. If you hate ABBA music, this is not the movie for you. If you like ABBA music, this is a movie for you.
It's a fair point. Mm-hmm.
Julia, you saw the movie. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good, but compared to the first one, a little bit of a disappointment. They got rid of a lot of elements that made the first one really strong, one of them being Meryl Streep. Thankfully, they showed her a little bit towards the end, so I got a little bit of that, but I wanted more Meryl Streep. And also, what's up with Hollywood where you have Cher playing Meryl Streep's mom? I'm still not over that.
Well, you're not over that because Cher is only 3 years older than Meryl Streep.
But she moves as if she's 20 years older than Meryl Streep. I mean, I like seeing Cher. In fact, I actually saw Cher perform Fernando. She was at CinemaCon. She was at the Universal thing, and they brought her out in the Las Vegas stage, so I actually got to see her perform with her band. I mean, it was cool. I get to say I saw Cher. Better or worse than what?
Well, Fernando in the movie.
Seeing the experience live was better.
Better.
I have to say. I mean, seeing with everything going on around her and knowing that it's Cher, and we'll talk more Cher, it was better live.
Fair enough. All right. Well, there's so many elements to dissect with this movie. Let's start with this notion. We get the past and we get the present. So might as well start with this. What did you guys think of who portrayed the younger versions best? Was it Harry? Was it Sam? Or young Bill? Who was your fave?
Well, you know, I liked all the guys at some point. So I think Bill definitely hit Bill, like in the charisma part, and you know, the sailing, and like, and they did really good casting of the physical look, so that made it look very believable that Bill was the younger version of himself. And he's like more free spirited, likes to, you know, sail, and I think he was the most believable compared to the other two, where I think it's because their physicality was so similar between Sam and Harry that I had a hard time actually distinguishing who was who. But Bill, I understood.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Dimitri?
Yeah, I mean, I liked... who is the sailing guy?
That was Bill.
Bill, yeah. I liked... Young Bill was probably the one that captured it the best. Actually, and I think one of the funniest scenes in the movie is when they had Josh Dillon as young Bill up against Skarsgård Bill, and they were just looking at each other. like that, to me, it was really funny. But I enjoyed his adventurism and spirit that he had as young Bill. He was probably the best for me.
I thought he was charismatic, but actually, I liked Sam. I don't know, maybe because he was portraying Pierce Brosnan, and I thought out of them, like, he seemed the most... Well, first off, we get more screen time with him because he's there at the hotel the entire time and he's doing his part. So, I don't know. I just felt like I had a greater connection to him right off the bat.
Yeah. So, hey, Jeremy Irvine did a really good job as the young Sam.
He did.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So, you both saw, since I have not seen Mamma Mia, but for all intents and purposes, you know, she's got her three dads. Doesn't matter who the actual dad is. And in essence, we're kind of retreading a story that, in essence, as I understand it, you guys knew. How did you guys feel about that aspect of it?
Well, I mean, I liked it because if you go back to the first one, and thankfully I just rewatched it recently, is that the first one, they actually do plant a lot of seeds to what the, you know, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again picked up on. And I like that because we get little nuggets here and there of who Sam, Bill, and Harry all were and how they kind of met. We got the actual audible stories, but then in the movie we get the visual of them actually meeting. And I like that because it does give an interesting backstory to Donna and who she was when she was younger, why she is the way now. And it just shows her free spirit also as a young person when she's faced with all these three guys who are so different each. And I like that because in the first one it gives you an idea, and the second one actually shows you it.
Sure. Don't ask me to recall the first one. It's
Julia, you saw the first one.
I think what I really enjoyed also is that they didn't put any I guess pressure or anything on her sexuality. In the first movie they kind of teased her that she was really busy all summer, and it was a busy summer, which it was, as this movie explained, yet there's no shame, and I really appreciated that, because let the girl have fun in her summer.
Well, as Glamour writes, as a result, all potential for judgment is removed from the very beginning of Mamma Mia, imbuing the movies with a sense of freedom. It's not age restricted either, whether 20-something Sophie or her 40-something mother Donna, or Donna's friends Rosie and Tanya, the women of the film are empowered, frank, and unashamedly confident in their sexuality.
Yeah.
Sure.
I believe that. Also, be watching the first one, because the first one has a lot of actual terribly photoshopped pictures of quote-unquote young Donna with these terribly photoshopped pictures of the young guys. And just that kind of gets null and void with the second one, now that we have a visual faces to each of those. So when you go back to the first one, you're like, it's very painful to watch looking at the bad photos. But it gives you a sense of, you know, again, who she was and who they were when they were young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Donna, the you know, the plot that, or the thing that kicks this off, the inciting incident, is that Donna's dead. However, the hotel now is ready to launch, and kind of that at least keeps her spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know Juliet mentioned that she felt not having Meryl Streep kind of detracted from the movie. Do you guys agree, disagree?
Not necessarily disagree, because, I mean, Meryl, she was the pinnacle person in the first one, but I like how she was pretty much far removed from the second one, because it was Lily James's portrayal now.
Right.
And Lily James, she's a great actress and also a better singer than Meryl Streep, in my opinion. So I didn't mind the fact that Meryl was out of this movie for the majority of the time, because it let Lily James shine.
Yeah. Why not? I'm in your camp. To me, Mamma Mia was when I first started, like Meryl Streep was like, oh, stop. Like, no, I know you're the queen of Hollywood, but yeah, it's, I don't need you in a musical, and you're okay. And it's, I didn't miss that presence. Mm-hmm. And again, I wanted to see this only because of Lily James, and we were going to talk about it, of course. But no, I didn't. You know, it was almost like they threw her into this movie for money. I mean, they used her in the advertising. They used her in the, well, I think she's in the poster. She was in the trailer, Meryl Streep. And, you know, I think they were just trying to, you know, I don't want to say cheat the audience. But
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. That's not what was my frustration, is that I, as you're saying, Dimitri, we have the posters, we have the trailers. Like, we're expecting her. She's been promised, and then in the first few minutes of this movie, you're telling me she's dead, and you're also telling me that the couple we were so in love with last movie is, they're having issues and they're about to break up. I was I saw the movie with Bill, and I was like, I think we need to leave. Those are my two favorite parts, and the first 5 minutes, they're not part of the movie. I don't know if I can stay.
Well, they need to give you heartache.
I will say this. We'll go ahead.
Well, the thing is this, yes, the marketing shows Meryl Streep, and I heard that she wasn't going to be in the movie, but I was like, but she's in all the advertisements. She has to be in the movie. So I wasn't too bothered that she wasn't in it for 90% of the movie, but when she showed up in the last minute, I was like, yeah, there she is. Yeah, of course. It makes sense.
She finally showed up. I thought she might have been in more
I wasn't
flashback.
Bothered really at all that she was out of it.
Yeah, Yeah, neither was I. I will say that if there was any part of this movie that resonated with me at all, it was the doing something to respect and to further the memory of a lost loved one. And that's what this whole opening of the hotel was about. Mm-hmm. And it's I enjoy the little wisps of conversation that Amanda Seyfried and Sophie had with her dad, Pierce Brosnan, if I get his name, Sam, in talking about it can never be enough, but she would love what you're doing. And it was all of the motives behind it I completely understood and got, and I appreciated it. That was the only thing that resonated with me in the movie. It would be a completely other movie if that's what if there was more of that. But outside of that, it just no.
Well, with a movie like this, you know from the get-go that this is going to have a happy ending. I'm not going into Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, to like cry at the end sad note.
Agreed.
No,
this is
a happy musical. We know yes. that.
So, and that's why, like, I from the very get-go, yeah, you're going to front load all the heartache so that way we're going to have this triumphant moment at the end. I mean, even though it's not necessarily a sad thing, but like the grandmother never being there as a mother, she was never there for Donna. Now she's not going to be here for Sophie. So that's just her MO. And then boom, there she is, right? That's one of the big moments of the movie.
And Skye comes back, too.
Yeah, Skye. But also, Cher's appearance was also spoiled, too, in the trailer. Yeah. So we all knew Cher was going to come into the scene eventually. And when the first 5 minutes is like, oh, yeah, she never responds. She'll never come and stuff. It's like, girl, we know this. And we know Cher's going to show up. So I think the marketing like really kind of worked against themselves.
Well, I think they put it in there to grab the audience. I mean, Cher was in it for about as much time as I thought Cher was going to be in the movie. Meryl Streep, I actually thought, might have been in it a little more via flashback or something. I'm fine. They had their presence.
They did, yeah, but I will, like, I know the trailers were meant to grab the people, but even so, like, as far as Cher, her entire entrance was revealed.
It was.
Mm-hmm. It's like, here I am, and then, but you weren't invited. Yeah, that's the best kind of party, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's the trailer. That's the trailer.
That's the trailer.
Yeah.
The only thing that was surprising was I'm not surprised that she sings. I'm surprised that Fernando is Andy Garcia. I was like, okay.
What?
We're in. This is Mamma Mia.
I didn't mind that.
Completely coming out of nowhere. It's like, what? And I was the same way. I was like, okay.
But it, of course, like, I mean, no other movie, if you're going to do anything, like, this is one of those movies that it's, this is where it's excusable to just tie up all any loose end in the most.
Oh.
Yeah. Just out of left field way.
Yeah.
Mm. So,
but somehow still makes sense because, Andy Garcia, quote Fernando, is, he's a kind of a mystery in the movie. You're like, who's this guy? He's just around. Apparently he's the manager, but he's kind of shady at the same time. But then to give him a purpose, such as Fernando, I was like, all right, that's why you're there.
And it's like
okay with that, too.
And he has the thing about, I had a woman once. Cienfuegos?
Well, he was actually handpicked by Cher out of a list of actors. So,
yes,
listen, good.
Yeah. God bless him. I mean, hey, he's having a renaissance right now.
The women love Andy Garcia.
Yeah, I just wish he would be.
Diane Keaton picked him for book club as well.
I just wish he was in some better movies. He can't be unhappy. He's having a nice renaissance right now. Yeah, well, I mean, he was in two movies within the past couple of months, right? So that's good. He still has it. I mean, he still has a really good screen presence. I just want to see him in better movies. He deserves it. I mean, he's been another actor that's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it all.
He has indeed. All right, but let's let's reshift back to Sophie and young Donna, because the parallels, right? That's the whole movie's about them, you know, being connected, mm-hmm. obviously leading to the culmination of Donna gets pregnant, Sophie gets pregnant. Mm-hmm. So all these things work together, and I thought, as far as how they transition from one to the other, visually and just otherwise, like, it all seemed very seamless and yet connected.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated, like, both from an acting perspective, both from a cinematography, editing, like, it all just worked.
I agree. I enjoy the parallelisms, and they do that really well in the first one, too, that where they show, you know, back-to-back sequences of, and how they juxtapose the two, that Sophie and the older Donna, and how they are so much alike, and like how they act with their friends, what they say, like their lines and their mannerisms are so in line with each other. So I liked how it translated to this film as well, that they are still very close to the mm-hmm. point where they're basically each other, like the apple didn't fall far from the tree.
Right.
And I enjoy that because we didn't get Meryl Streep in this movie, but her character and her presence was so big that she still is a part of the second one, even though she's not physically there.
Yeah.
That's a great point. You know who I also was wondering why they weren't there was her friend. The daughter's friends.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember their names? In the first movie, there's a really nice dynamic how, you know, the mother has Meryl Streep, has her three girlfriends, and then they're a little pack, and then the daughter, same thing, and it's like, why aren't they in this movie? This seems like an important day for you, and you don't really have much of a support system.
Yeah, maybe they just couldn't get the actors back. It was like Lisa and someone else, and I forget the other girl, sorry.
I forget those characters completely. Huh? So I was like,
I didn't know them, so.
I mean, she didn't, and you're right, you bring up a really good point. It's like, how can you have been on this island getting this hotel ready, and you really don't, outside of Sam, your dad, you don't have any support system? Like, that was interesting. That was like, okay, that's weird, but
You can't apply logic.
To Mamma Mia.
I don't think it was, like, just because her personal friends were there. We had Donna's friends and Donna's, you know, ex-boyfriends also there. And I think it might have also just been an overwhelming of cast if they added two more girls for us to follow. And especially when we were seeing the young Tanya and young, what's her name?
Rosie.
Why am I blanking? Young.
There's a lot of names.
Yeah. There are a lot of people. When we see young Tanya and young Rosie, like, those are also two girls that we have to follow now. So I think it just would be an overwhelming ensemble if we added two more people.
And all audiences who see this should be thankful that the hardest Greek name to pronounce is Sophie. So it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of Lily James, like, I think she really does a fantastic job. She's supposed to embody this free spirit, and just the way they open up on When I Kissed the Teacher, like, just such a different way to graduate top of your class.
Yeah,
and that's what you choose. I thought it encompassed really well, and they started off the movie, and you got her spirit. You got what she was going for.
You did, but you also got the sense that this is Lily James' movie. Like, she performed. She was the star, and not that, like, it wasn't because she was, like, wanted to make everybody look not as good as her, but you could tell that she was the one that really showed up, was having this good time. And what I refer to is that song, Kiss the Teacher, it ends on a freeze frame of them jumping. And if you look at the three actresses and you look at their faces, the one that's the brightest, the one that stands out, is her. And I'm pretty sure the director didn't say, okay, you two, don't smile as much. I think it's just her and what her charisma brought to the role. And it was the only thing that was keeping me really going. And again, she can sing. She was able to dance. She didn't necessarily mimic or try to, like, do a... She wasn't... she wasn't like mimicking Meryl Streep. She was playing young Donna. Yeah. So, I really enjoyed watching her in this movie. It was hard not to. I mean, she really had the screen presence to pull it off.
Yeah, they put a lot on her shoulders. Like, if you look at the song list, 16 songs in total, a lot of them fall on her.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that worked out quite well.
Yeah.
Marissa, what are your thoughts?
It also helps that Lily James herself is such a strong singer. And I think the problem, not like necessarily a big problem, but it is one of the flaws of the Mamma Mia movies, is that they have actors who can sing, not singers who can act. They're actors first, and then singing can be subpar, but also forgivable, I guess you can say, or at least tolerable. But Lily James is actually a very strong singer, so like I'm glad that they went with her, because she is, like, she's getting big. She's building a big career. We've covered a lot of her films in the past 3 years, so good on Lily James. And she's still a younger, fresh face that the younger now generation can also enjoy these movies, because ABBA, the Mamma Mia music, it caters to the people who were loving the music in the 70s and 80s, and now Lily James can bring the people from today's generation. Mm-hmm. So I think it's actually really smart.
Yeah, and you look at her career, I mean, she was Cinderella. She was fantastic, actually. I really like Cinderella. It's still my favorite live action adaptation from the Disney, that and Jungle Book, but she was great. And then she goes from doing a Disney movie to Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. And then you're like, what? And she carried it off, and she had good cast around her. Yeah. But it's like, wow, okay, so she can pull this off too. And then she does Baby Driver. That's when I really fell in love with her. And again, she's
Darkest a Hour. Star.
Yeah, she's very, Darkest Hour. She has, we talk about it, screen presence when she comes on. And she's very bright, and she's got the charisma. She's got it. She's well, great to watch.
I mean,
and to listen to.
The whole role of Donna is to showcase what the spirit of Donna was. You know, that would become Donna, right? And so you need people to fall in love with her, both in the movie and out of the movie. And as you guys have made quite evident, she pulls that off tremendously.
And she doesn't do it by doing a cheap imitation of Meryl Streep. I, in a sense, because again, Meryl Streep is the queen of Hollywood, right? She's big shoes to fill if you're going to do this, right? And it's much like the kid who played Han Solo. It's like he's not doing a cheap imitation of Harrison Ford. He's just playing like what we can see Han Solo as younger and as he evolves into the adulthood. That's the same thing here with Lily James. We can see this young Donna growing up to be Meryl Streep. It makes sense, and it's not a half-assed imitation at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I appreciate about this movie, only in movies can you really compare a mother and a daughter in such a way where they, like, you know, you always hear it that you know, you're exactly like your mother or something like that, but as a child in real life, you can't ever make that comparison, because in this movie we get the, and in just movies in general, we get the ability to do that.
Yeah.
And I thought that I thought her and Amanda matched up quite well.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, they did a fantastic job. What are your other, what did you guys think of the young two friends as well, Rosie and Tanya?
I thought they were fabulous. They definitely captured the essence of the older Tanya and Rosie. And, like, even the actress that played young Tanya, I was laughing hysterically. I think she had the best lines in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, and every time we saw this young Tanya, and even the older Tanya that, as like she had some of the best one-liners, and I felt like she stole every scene that she was in. Because also Christine Baranski is such a great actress as well, but her character is so funny and likable, and I loved her in the first one too. So I thought the casting of the two younger ones was spot on.
I agree. I thought they were very spot on from a looks wise, but I even think that they brought an energy to the movie that you can tell that they would be Donna's friends. In fact, I felt they, and again, not just because they were the younger versions of the older people, I felt that they had more energy than, you know, they were trying to capture this energy when we would come to present day, and you see the older people. You're right, Christine Baranski is fantastic. She knows how to deliver sarcasm, and Julie Walters as Rosie is great, but they didn't. Did they just lose the energy because they're older? I don't buy that. I don't buy that that would happen. The younger versions of themselves, I thought were spot on, and they were exuberant, and they had fun in the whole cake thing. Mm-hmm. On cake. So
carbs.
I liked the younger versions of the characters. Mm.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's also, I want to get you from your perspective, what, as I mentioned, 16 songs in total, what was your favorite song? No, just pick Mamma Mia, just pick Mamma Mia.
I mean, Dancing Queen is obviously iconic, but I really actually enjoyed the end credits because it was fun to see literally everybody on screen and the younger paired with the older in the same scene. And, yeah, Super Trooper is, like, such a fun song anyways to sing. But to see, and I think just the cinematography-wise of how they pulled off the end credits sequence was also very well done, and how everybody got their one, two lines, and then off to the next person, next pairing, whatever. And I think it executed awesome in the film. And it's a great song, too.
Absolutely. Dimitri?
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all. I really do think that the final credit scene was great, and Dancing Queen was the one that had the most energy. It's how I expected the rest of this movie to have that exuberance, to have that choreography and the way that it was edited, and having these people coming in on the boats and they're dancing on the boats, we're on the island. I really liked that. That's a good musical number. I wish the rest of it had it. There was, what was the scene in the restaurant?
Waterloo.
Waterloo was okay. Waterloo was fun as well. But I think Waterloo, Dancing Queen, and the end credits were, to me, the most vibrant, the most fun to watch, and the most engaging for a musical. You want your music to be engaging, and everybody to look like they're having a good time.
Yeah.
Waterloo is a great song. I was actually kind of put off by the number Waterloo because I think it could have been the lip syncing, but it seemed too over the top, especially when they just met each other like 2 hours ago, and now he's singing a love song to her in a restaurant. Fun to watch, but also a little too ridiculous to make it seem believable.
Mamma Mia, I will say young Harry singing wise,
not the greatest.
I mean, maybe he comes from a musical background, too, because I'm not familiar with theater. But again, this is where we fall into there were many parts of this that were just bad karaoke. And not bad of the son who worked in the taverna, and he only had it so he could be in his band bad. I mean, I just felt it was bad karaoke.
Well, I agree with you guys. Dancing Queen was one of the highlights, but a song that fit really well, I thought, was "Knowing Me, Knowing You," because at that point they had split, and it was well choreographed in terms of their emotions, and they were walking off. Like I said, I mean, this is a long music video with multiple just small plot points here and there.
And that was one of the first songs of the movie too.
Yeah, but you know, to your point, that was the one that too was filmed like a musical, in which, you know, it's a set. He's on one side of the wall, she's on the other side of the wall. It was the way the camera moved. Yeah, I mean, that was done really well as well. Dominic Cooper, who can sort of sing. I mean, I like Dominic Cooper.
He sang in the
too.
First one. He had a number in the first one, and then it's nice to see. Well, the whole cast back. It's very rare to get everybody back from the first movie.
A free trip to Croatia. It's like, let's have fun.
Well, I do want to ask you guys' opinion about Cher, because this was made, you know, it's like it's supposed to be the big surprise, even though the trailer reveals it. But you know she's going to sing, you just don't know what she's going to sing. We mentioned that she sings Fernando. But as far as the performance, I don't know, like, she's... not as mobile as the it wasn't as graceful as you would hope for Cher. And it kind of hurt to watch.
And it is disappointing, too. I mean, Cher, obviously iconic, and she was big in the 70s and 80s, but ABBA was big in the 70s and 80s. So it makes sense that she would also be in, and she has ties to ABBA. Like, they're actually good old friends and stuff. So I didn't mind Cher being in it, and, like, she's talented, and she's a great singer. I think it's because of, I don't want to sound superficial, but like all the work that she's done, it was hard to connect with her because her face wasn't moving. And yeah. I wanted to like really emote with her, but I was so put off it just like nothing was moving. I was like, you're singing, but I can't connect with you.
I think it's a good point. I think it's a valid point. I don't think it's being superficial at all. But this is a woman, you know, when you talk about ABBA, the Sonny and Cher variety show, it was a big ratings getter at the time. I believe they probably had ABBA on once, if not twice. They were really big. And then Cher was able to do something that a lot of singers of the time probably wanted to do but couldn't. And that is she made the leap into acting on the big screen. So movies like Moonlighting, right? Moonstruck, which I believe she could have won an Academy Award.
She's get nominated.
She has been around, and she's a fantastic actress, just on her own. I mean, what she's been able to accomplish as a singer and then a performer, she's great. I'm just going, I mean, like, her list of acting, I can't even, like, it's, I'm just trying to go through, it's crazy.
It's endless.
So, and as a performer, she was always iconic, and she even had a renaissance as well, not only in the 70s, but in the 80s too, and she stuck around for a long time. Then she sort of kind of faded away, and I always wondered, what was it? Why? Why would you quit acting when you were so good at it? And you could do drama, you could do comedy, you could do anything, and you could sing. Like, that's a trifecta, and you still looked good. But I think the years outside of just the work, I think the years of dancing and her costumes and heels and whatever, I think it just takes toll on a body. And it looked it here. And to your point, I felt sort of bad. She wasn't this way in Vegas, I mean, but she's not jumping around like she used to. What is she, in her 60s?
70s,
right? And you said she's 3 years older than Meryl Streep, right?
Yeah, Meryl Streep, I believe, is 68, 69.
Mm-hmm. And note that the two of them were together in Silkwood. She was in Mask. I mean, Suspect, Moonstruck. I mean, Mermaids, The Player. This woman was in a ton of really good movies. And I think that the age has caught up with all the performance that she's done. And you can sort of tell that her body she's no spring chicken, but I think the rigors of performing have caught up with her.
A little bit.
You know, but she could still act. There was still a vibrancy,
Yeah, and she can still deliver lines like, yes. Oh, that's not good.
Sarcasm, yeah.
Leaving mm-hmm. that out of my bio. Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, I mean, she's a good actress, and I think just in performance-wise, this is a musical, so you have to connect with the audience, and I just didn't connect with her. Yeah.
Which, but if we're on that, I thought that was one of the best jokes. I don't know why, but, like...
Which one?
You're a grandmother. Great-grandmother. Yes, I am. No, you're literally going to be a great grandmother. Mm-hmm. And just cracked them. Yeah. It's like a dad joke.
Oh my God, I forget. The Witches of Eastwick. It was just such a good movie that she's in. You know, she's a very talented, gifted performer. And it is sort of sad. Because even when she's doing Fernando, you could tell walking down the stairs, like, she was, I don't want to say holding on for dear life. But
that railing.
The railing, yeah.
Let's not fall. I might break a hip. Well, it's terrible. You go straight to hell.
But it's no. But I mean,
no, it's true.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Well, let's move on to Meryl Streep, because she comes in the final moments.
Right.
She which, by the way, she ended up spending a whole week on set, which is a lot longer than I actually would have thought. But then again, given the complication of how they shoot stuff for this, I could maybe see. What did you guys think of that song, My Love, My Life?
I liked it. It was a nice button at the end of the movie because it kind of does bring the young Donna storyline to the beginning of the Sophie storyline. Yeah. That's where they meet, and it was very apropos that it started with the church, because the church was an iconic place in the first one too. So, and I liked how it really draws to the main point of where both of these stories line up in parallelisms. And I liked it. It was sweet. It was a mother to a daughter, another mother to her new daughter, and I enjoyed it. It was touching. It was sweet, and it was simple. And I liked the simplicity of it. And also, Meryl Streep was in, you know, Super Trooper, which was the arguably one of the biggest numbers of the film. So yeah, that could have taken up the week.
Yeah, well, true. And the scene again, it resonated a little bit. I mean, there was the spirituality of it, because here she is the spirit of Donna, who's passed, who the whole thing was about, she's still with us. We're opening this hotel to further respect her memory and her life. It was to respect her life and to do this, and this is what we're doing it for. And having at the christening, you know, of the baby and her singing it, there was that whole, she was watching over and she was still with her daughter. Again, that's something that, again, there was a wisp of that resonation with me that happened. So I appreciated what they were going for in that song, in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
So,
any final thoughts on story? I know there's still a lot to cover, but I do want to move on to sort of box office and all that stuff. But I want to give you guys a final say on things.
Yeah, I think the story is super simple to understand. It's like just the whole backstory of Donna, but like appreciate what you know, the character she was when she was younger, into what she pulled off as an adult, and having raised a child by herself, right, having run in a hotel by herself. You saw the ambition from a young Donna to the actual execution of the older Donna. I like that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Fair enough. Well, two things to note. Number one, Pinkberry created a Mamma Mia mango flavor. So if you...
That has nothing to do with Grease.
That had nothing to do with Mamma Mia, apart from them just doing it. And also, you can get 10% off tickets from Citi if you use the promo code Citi.
Oh,
interesting to know.
Sweet. Good to know.
Neither of which we are sponsored by, but figured I'd just let you know one way.
Now you're just hungry.
I am hungry, actually. That was awesome.
So, as far as numbers, came in number two at the box office this past weekend, and then number two to Equalizer 2. Both sequels.
Both sequels. Yeah.
That's a mouthful of twos.
Sequels.
I'm willing to bet that if you looked at the top 10 movies of last weekend, I would say maybe two to three of them are actual, like, original movies. I think everything else, I bet you, would be a sequel.
Yeah, because Ant-Man 2, Incredibles 2, and the list goes on.
Oh, yeah. So many twos.
So many twos. But, you know, overall, like, the fact that it made what it's made, and it, worldwide, it's picking up some steam, I think it's got legs. And an A- on CinemaScore, almost an 80 on Rotten Tomatoes. Like,
I was surprised
that's
about.
High.
I was surprised about
high.
The 80% right there. You know, when you talk about the foreign box office, which is currently at like $65 million, so that relates to 55.8%. Let's just call it 56% of the worldwide box office, right? That's fascinating to me, and you wonder who's bringing this in. Was it because they put Cher in Meryl Streep in the marketing? Like, I mean, there's a method to the madness, and there's a reason why they are in the marketing to get that feeling back. Because if you don't show them, and they end up being, say they were the quote-unquote surprise guests, right? Then it's the thing that everybody wants to talk about but may not talk about because they don't want to spoil the movie. You just put it out there. You're marketing the movie to an audience, to a worldwide audience. Those two do have pull, right? So, you know, in the movie itself, look, the play has gone on and has played all around the world and has had its popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it still continues to do so in some sectors. So globally, I'm not surprised that this movie has done what it has done.
Well, also, the ABBA music is still big in Europe. I mean, hello, they're actually from Sweden. But the ABBA music is known huge in the UK and over in Europe. So they're like, yeah, that does help with the financial box office as well.
Man, didn't ABBA come out with a new album? Or they're coming out with a new album, I think?
Cher was actually in a music video back in 2004.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're still making music, believe it or not. It's incredible. And that when it comes to a musical, like, it transcends. We talk comedy sometimes is tough to cross over, right? Because comedy is very specific to cultures and languages. Action movies tend to do well internationally because, it's action. And musicals, because it's music, also can have that transcendence.
They can.
And ABBA, they still are worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And, well, also, the music in itself is timeless. It doesn't really have pop culture references in the lyrics. They're fun songs to listen to at any time of the year. So that's why, also, ABBA is so good and so well-known, because people can listen to them any freaking time they want.
Absolutely. So kudos to them. They had a $70 million budget. Production-wise, I don't know.
Just 75. I mean, we talked about this earlier compared to Equalizer 2, which was in the 60s. $75 million. That must have been getting Cher to go
this was. I want to know what their actual production budget is, minus all the actors. Can you imagine, like, $15 million or something like that?
Also, but if you think about it, a sequel that was 10 years to the date of the release of the first one. So to have a sequel so already late after the first one to do financially successful, also, I mean, good for them.
Yeah,
with high ratings, no less. Yeah, they did something right.
Kudos to them. And listen, they had my money.
Yeah, and they went back to this well with, and this isn't based. Like, there wasn't a Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again Broadway show. Like, this is a direct film sequel. Musicals are sort of hot right now. This is a woman's picture, and there really isn't a ton of that this summer. So there's a lot to gravitate towards that, the ABBA factor. And I do believe the Cher and the Meryl Streep factor. I think people wanted to jump back into this well again in hopes that they, well, here we go again, and have a fun time.
Absolutely.
There's lots of appeal. Yeah. And the cast themselves, even in this film, like the cast, all of them are still pretty big in their careers.
Yeah, and they looked as if they were having fun. I can't point to any single one and say that person was in it for the paycheck. Hey, we're going to party again. Whoopa. You know?
Yeah, I mean, what better excuse do you get to just all kind of hang out and have a fun time on set? Like, that doesn't, you know, unless you're the Avengers, doesn't really happen that much.
Yeah.
Right.
So kudos to them. All right. Well, I know there's plenty of more that we could have talked about, but that's why we encourage you to type in the comments section or interact with us directly by all means. Also, if you love what we do, by all means, subscribe. We encourage you. That way you get any new episodes. Also, it allows you to check out past episodes. We have not done Mamma Mia the first one, but that's because we weren't around 10 years
ago. Years ago. I can't believe it's been a decade.
It's been,
it's been a long time. Nonetheless, we have covered a lot of movies, whether it be Amanda Seyfried movies, Meryl Streep movies, Lily James movies, a lot of them that we mentioned. In fact, all of them we've covered.
We've done her filmography.
So definitely lots to check out. By all means, we encourage you. Next week, we will be doing Teen Titans Go to the Movies, as well as Mission Impossible Fallout. In the meantime, during that entire week, where can people interact with you directly? Marissa?
You can follow me everywhere at Serafini TV.
And Dimitri.
And I say stop the olive oil washing, filming grease, and you can find me at DMovies, at DMovies 1701.
That's right, and you can find me at Phil Svitek. Marissa, sing and take us out of here. No?
I mean, I need music. But
you got music. Yeah. Crank it up, Juliet. Sing.
Look at me now.
I haven't learned. I don't know how, but I I suddenly lose control. There's a fire within my soul.
Julia, join her.
Just one look and I can hear the bell ring. One more look and I can hear the bell ring. Oh, Mamma Mia, here I go again. My, my, how can I resist you? Mamma Mia, does it show again? My, my, just how much I missed you. Yes, I've been broken hearted.
Alright, we're gonna end on that note. Thank you guys.
Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.